Today I speak to Susanna Zarayski. She's born in St. Petersburg in Russia and grew up in California with two native languages, Russian and English. She now speaks eight languages and learned many of them mainly through music, which will also be the topic of our interview today. She's, amongst other books, the author of Language is Music and has been featured on CBS, CNN, BBC and many others. She has spoken in front of U.S. diplomats, military personnel, teachers, professors, and many more. Susanna, I'm so glad that you can make it. Now, you look at the topic of language learning much through the lens of music, and I find that very interesting. I interviewed some musicians before, and music is always very much linked to accent. Musicians always are better with the accent, and I'd also like to talk about that topic, but let's start first with a fairly general question. And how is that link? How is it possible to learn a foreign language through music?
Well, we first should talk a bit about how music activates the brain. So if you read the book Musicophilia by Dr. Oliver Sacks, he was a neurologist from England who practiced in the United States. What he explained in his book was that music activates more parts of the brain than language does, but there are parts of the brain that are activated both by language and music. And when I read his book, I realized that when I listened to music in foreign languages, I would easily pick up lyrics, even if I didn't understand what the language was. Like, I had a roommate once from Hong Kong, and she would listen to music in Cantonese, and I would sometimes sing along, even though I had absolutely no idea what I was saying, because it was all in Cantonese and I didn't speak mm-hmm. Cantonese. And what I realized when I read his book was that what was happening when I was listening to music in other languages was that I was picking up on the words, the rhythm, the melody, the sounds, the intonations and everything just from listening. I was just singing along like I would to any other melody, whether it were in English or even if it were just like an instrumental melody. I was just listening to the music and enjoying the music and recreating the music by singing along, even if I didn't know what I was singing. And that's one of the things to remember when you're thinking about learning a language, is that you have to learn the melody of the language, the rhythm, how it sounds, because there are people who speak fluent English, for example, who learned it through books and all that. But when they speak, they have such a heavy accent from their mother tongue. And it could be the same thing somebody speaking in German or Czech or Chinese. Somebody who's speaking with the melody of their own language in the target language, and they sound sometimes very, it's sometimes very difficult to understand what they're saying, even if their grammar is perfect. And that's why it's important to listen to music in the language that you're learning, so that you get these mental imprints of what the language sounds like, what the melody is like of the language. And you can do this even before you formally start studying a language, just to get used to it. And you learn when you you need to find music that you like. What's important is to find music where where you can hear the lyrical part much stronger than the instrumental part. Because, for example, if you're listening to heavy metal music and like American heavy metal music, I can barely understand what the singers are saying, and I'm practicing being a speaker. So in this case, like, it's not going to be helpful to you if you're listening to heavy metal. So you have to make sure the words are very clear. It's also very important to find music where the people are speaking correctly in the language. You know, for example, if you take some rap music from the United States, a lot of the words are slang words, sometimes derogatory words, sometimes the grammar is intentionally wrong in order to make the song rhyme. So in some cases, I tell people you have to go back to some of the older music from like 40 or 50 years ago, where you don't have a lot of synthetic sounds, you don't have electronic music. It's really just the singer and a piano and sometimes an orchestra. Like, Frank Sinatra's a really good example, but not everybody, you know, under the age of like 30 or 20 actually wants to listen to Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. But you can still find modern interpreters of song who it's just one guy or one woman and a guitar, and the language, and you can hear very clearly. And that's going to help you distinguish the the sounds of the language. So you need to find something that's easy for you to grasp.
All right. And so if I found something, how would I approach this? Should I listen to the music and listen to the words and try to sing along with the lyrics? What would the actual process be of learning when I have found good songs?
So I'll just explain. A lot of this started for me of just listening to the radio when I was at home or I was in a vehicle or listening to, at the time was Walkmans, so you could listen to the radio. And I didn't have the lyrics of the songs in front of me because I was usually in transit or doing something around the house. So I would just listen to the music and sing along or not sing along. I would just listen and enjoy it. But eventually, you do need to get the lyrics. But the good thing at the beginning is just to listen and really absorb, just like you would when you were a child. When you were a child, you listened to your mother tongue, or when some people have multiple mother tongues if they're growing up in a multilingual environment. You listen to the language without any written representation of it. You're just singing along or just listening. And then eventually you need to get the lyrics. So you can go online, look for the lyrics. If you have the CDs, sometimes CDs have the lyrics in them. Be careful. Sometimes online, the lyrics that you find are lyrics that somebody has written out, but they might not be the original lyrics. So you might have to look for multiple sources to make sure you're getting the right ones. Sometimes these things are done by amateurs. And then when you're listening to the songs, read the lyrics so that you can find what the words are. Because when you're first learning a language, all the words might just sound like one word. You don't hear the distinction from one word to the other because it just sounds like a bunch of sounds. And when you're reading, then you see where one word ends and the other one begins. Obviously, in some languages, it's easier to tell when one word ends and the other one begins. But in a language like French, where you have a lot of words that sound like the end in a vowel and or start in a vowel, it's very hard to tell when one word ends and the other one begins because it just you don't you're not broken up by consonants as you are in some other languages. So that's important to read as you're listening. And then it's also good to then not listen to the music and just read the lyrics and try to imagine the music in your head. And the reason it's important to replay the music in your head as much as you can from your memory is that the areas of the brain that are responsible for like replaying this music in your head, for memorizing the music, are also tied to long-term memory. And I forgot the exact part of the brain that I'm talking about. And that's important because if you are kind of replaying the music in your head as though you were your own DJ, your own stereo, you're helping yourself remember these songs in the long term. And the reason this is also important is that you can then kind of go into those songs as memory banks or databases of words, and that will help you later on when you're forming sentences. And this happens to me even though I'm a fluent Spanish speaker and I lived in Latin America. Sometimes when I'm speaking and I'm thinking of a word that I've used very rarely or I've heard very rarely, I sometimes actually hear the lyric of the song where I heard it in my head, and then I remember the word, and then I insert it in the sentence that I'm speaking. So I don't start singing in the middle of my sentences. I just that's how my brain is retrieving those words. Now, it's also important sometimes just to kind of play games with yourself and take the lyrics, make like a photocopy, and then take a pen and block out some of the words. Or put something over some of the words so you don't see them. And then when you're listening to the song, see if you can write in the word that's missing. And this is important because this is forcing you to pay attention to the words that you're hearing. And oftentimes people tell me, well, I don't even pay attention to the lyrics in songs in my own language. I don't know what they are. I'm just listening to the music. And that's because they're just not paying attention. It's not that you can't do it. It's just that you're maybe not trained to do it. That's maybe not of an interest of yours, especially if you're not interested in music or you haven't been musically trained. But it's all about training yourself. So it may mean that when you're listening to music, don't be doing other things. Don't be cleaning something in the house. Don't be tying your shoe. Don't be trying to brush your hair, whatever. really listen to the music and pay attention. And sometimes you have to close your eyes because you might be distracted by something that you see outside a window or in your house. And try to imagine what the story is in the song. I mean, most songs are about love. Somebody is in love, or somebody, their girlfriend just broke up with them and they're crying, whatever it is. But sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're, you can find stories that are political or about revolutions or that about problems that are happening in society. And so try to imagine what the story is about, like create almost like your own little video in your head. And the reason I bring this up is that some people are much more visual learners than they are auditory or or I forgot what the word is when you learn by reading. So unfortunately, the way languages are taught are usually just you just have a bunch of vocabulary words you have to learn, or you have a conjugation chart, and you don't have that much visual input, especially in books. You might have some pictures. So in that case, it's really important for people who are visual learners to associate words with images. So either find a music video for the song, or kind of figure it out in your head. Or some people need to draw out what the song is about. One of the examples I give, which is quite easy, is that the song New York, New York, that was made famous by Frank Sinatra. And it's about someone coming from a small town, going to a big city in New York and seeing people, all night long on the streets and taking the buses. So, you can kind of imagine what it's like and, draw a picture for yourself of someone going into New York. And this is important. It's important to understand how you learn, and most people don't know that. I realized through reading Dr. Sachs's book that I was very much an auditory learner, and that I learned a lot through music. But yes, I do believe it's important to have the input first, because the way the so there was the there's a French ear, nose, and throat doctor called Alfred Tomatis, and he wanted to understand why people have accents in languages. And he realized that the reason people have accents in languages is that they're not hearing the language as native speakers speak it, because every language has a range of frequencies. So some languages have a lot of low frequencies, very low sounds, and some languages have a lot of high sounds, like very high frequencies. And if your language is, let's say, more on the low frequency side, and you're hearing something at a very high frequency, you're emitted from a native speaker of that language that's at a high frequency, you're actually probably not hearing it as native people hear it, because your ears are accustomed to the frequency in which you produce your own language. Unless, of course, you are a musician or a singer and you're exposed to other frequencies. And so his theory was that people should listen to Mozart, because Mozart had the widest range of frequencies from low to high. Now, I don't know if that's actually been proven by other scientists who have studied the range of frequencies of classical composers, but definitely the exposure to music in sounds in different languages or from different fields of music, whether you're talking about classical to rock to jazz to samba to, some music from the Himalayas, is very important, because it's expanding your capacity to process sounds in different frequencies. And why this goes back to your question about the input method is that if you realize that you're a beginner, let's say you're 40 years old, you've never studied a foreign language, you don't listen to music from other countries, it's going to be quite hard for you to go into turbo mode very quickly and to develop a good accent. It's probably going to take longer than it would for other people. And what's important at that point is to expose yourself as much as possible to the sounds of the language that you want to learn.
Okay. So that means that you think input should go first. And how would that work? What would be your advice be with how much input should I get first before starting to speak?
That's a good question, and people ask me that, and I don't have a definitive answer, like, oh, you should listen for a month or 3 weeks or whatever. There was research done in New Zealand on Russian speakers, and the research was done by Dr. Paul Sulzberger, who owns a translation and interpreting agency in New Zealand. And when he was doing his PhD in, I think it was in linguistics or pedagogy, language pedagogy, he had a group of students who had no exposure to Russian, because it's not a common language to hear in New Zealand, listen to Russian spoken before taking a formal class. And then he had a group of students with no exposure to Russian, not have any listening exposure for a couple of weeks before studying Russian. And I don't recall the period of time that the students were listening to Russian before taking the class. And what the study showed is that the students who got that period of time of listening to spoken Russian before formally studying Russian performed better than the control group of students who didn't have the exposure. So that's one example of where this, if you want to call it the input method, is important. But in this case,
Let me ask you a question about this. So
yeah.
that this means that the people that went with input first had more studying time than the people that didn't? Is that?
So the input was listening exposure. It wasn't input in terms of studying grammar before speaking.
Yeah,
It was just, yeah.
but they still had like, could that be also a reason that because they had more exposure than the other group?
Yeah, that was the point, is that because they got the exposure to the listening, they did better when it came to, I think it was, I read the research about 4 or 5 years ago. I think when they started studying the language, the group that had the exposure for those couple of weeks or whatever time it was listening had an easier time understanding individual words or picking out individual words. So the point of the study was to show that it's important to listen first before you start studying, because if you listen first, it's going to be easier for you to recognize words. But again, I haven't read I read it like 4 or 5 years ago, so I would suggest you could just find it on Google Scholar, Paul Sulzberger, New Zealand, Russian. So I think you have to just kind of feel like what makes you more comfortable. Now, if you're in a rush, for example, and you have to go to a certain country in a month, and you want to be able to speak, you're not going to have time to just listen to music for 2 weeks and watch v movies for 2 weeks and then start studying grammar. You have to start much quicker. So in that case, if you're in a rush, you probably just have to do everything at the same time, like listen to the music or listening to podcasts or whatever in the background while you're doing things around the house, and then actually study the grammar. But I don't suggest people get really lazy and just spend all their time consuming media, thinking, oh, it's great, I can just, watch soap operas in Portuguese and suddenly I'm going to speak perfect Brazilian Portuguese. It's not going to happen. And I would say that you have to figure out what works best for you. And it's really important, actually, to be brutally, brutally honest with yourself about how much time you have to dedicate to something. Some people are, they know they're going to go to X country in 3 months and they need to be functional once they get there, and so they're in a rush. They may have to study every day. Other people who have busy lives, who work full time, who have to take care of elderly parents and children and have other community responsibilities, don't have every day to study. And it's just absolutely impossible for them to do something every day. And it's important for you as a learner to be extremely honest with yourself about how much you can dedicate. So I don't have a real answer for you. I can just give you an example for what's happening in my life right now. So I've been studying Greek, but because I have a lot of responsibilities and obligations, both professional and personal, I don't have the time nor the mental space really to sit with my grammar book. Like I sometimes read the grammar book and I fall asleep. And it's not from a lack of will, and it's not because I'm making excuses. It's just there are times in your life where you really, truly do not have the mental capacity or the time to dedicate what you need to studying a language. So what I've been doing is I've been watching this Greek television show, actually with Russian subtitles, which makes it a little difficult because I don't read very quickly in Russian. So I have to stop very often to read the subtitles and then rewind so I can hear what they're saying in Greek. But I'm still learning. And as a matter of fact, I'm solidifying, I should say, I'm solidifying the patterns that I've already learned. For example, the possessive tense or just certain verb conjugations, very simple phrases. Am I making huge strides with Greek? No, but at least I'm not regressing. And it's actually helping me too, because I have to in Russian at the same time. So I have to be very alert. So in some cases, when you don't have the time to study formally, you may have to do something like this where you're forcing yourself to really pay attention to songs or podcasts, or in this case, a TV show.
Okay, so I have two examples of where, or I have one example of where this works and one example of where this does not work. So let's look at Scandinavia, and they have everything subtitled, like movies, TV shows, all the music is in English, and they speak English very well. But then the rest of the world listens to a lot of English music, but still is not very good with the accent. Not better than they are in other foreign languages. Do you have maybe an explanation for that?
That is a really good example. I think it's about, we're going back to the musicians that you were talking about earlier. So it's about the concentration you give to listening. And I think in my case, because I have an inclination towards music, I tend to be a very good listener. Now, this also is a problem because I'm very sensitive to noise. So, I can be in a place and I can hear the water going through the pipes and it bothers me, but it doesn't bother anybody else. And that's because of the way my brain is set up to really pay attention to sound. For people who are learning a language who say this, they say, well, I listen to music in my own language and I don't even pay attention to the words. I'm just enjoying the songs. That happens a lot. The problem is that they're not really listening. They're kind of passively listening, but they're not actively listening. So you have to teach yourself to be an active listener. And in this case, if you are singing the songs, some American pop songs, but you're not really, it's not helping you with your pronunciation, that means you need to slow down, listen to one verse by verse, read the lyrics at the same time, and pay attention to how you say it compared to how the singer's saying it. So in this case, it's really good to record yourself. You don't have to sing it. You could just record yourself saying the verses. You could just use your phone or something on your computer, or if you happen to have an old tape recorder, use the old tape recorder, whatever it is. And then compare how you sound when you're saying that verse compared to the original singer. It's also very important to look at yourself in the mirror. And this is what singers do. Anytime you take a singing class, you're taught sing in front of the mirror, and that's when you notice, are you opening your mouth widely? How are you opening your mouth? Because in order to pronounce certain sounds, you have to move your mouth in a certain way. For example, the th sound, which is very hard for French speakers in English, well, you have to learn, where to put your tongue. And so you need to look at yourself in the mirror and then compare yourself when you're listening, or sorry, when you're watching a video of a singer saying that sound, or watch a television show when you see somebody making that sound and see where their mouth is. This requires a very, almost like a microscopic view of the way people are speaking. And this is not the way we're used to being unless we're an F, you know, forensic expert, or we're doing a criminal investigation and we've been taught to look at that. But that's what you have to do.
And how would I do that if I actually now I'm listening to this interview and I decide to start tomorrow? How would I approach this?
Approach this. You mean music and media and incorporating them into your language learning?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So what I would suggest is finding something that you're interested in. Now, some people like soap operas. So if you're learning Portuguese, you find some Brazilian soap opera. If that's not your thing, you like historical dramas, you find some historical dramas that are of interest to you. Like in my case, I'm watching this Greek television series about life in Greece on a leper colony, And it's showing life in Greece before World War II, during World War II, after World War II. And I just find it historically really interesting. So you find things that are compelling to you. And if you like the news, for example, watch the news in that language. And, in some places, it's actually really convenient. Like if you're learning French, you can watch France 24, French 24, France 24. And they have this many times the same videos in English, French, and Arabic. And I think they may also have Russian or Spanish. With Al Jazeera, you have the same videos in different languages sometimes, same thing with BBC. So if you're watching the news, like let's say, for example, the discussion is about the recent shooting in Las Vegas. Well, if you've already heard the news in your own language and you're watching the report, let's say in English, and you're learning English, and you hear the word shooter, shooter, shooter repeated three times, you kind of guess that, okay, they're talking about a shooting. The shooter must be the person who had was the gunman who had the gun. So you're making a connection between what you already know from the news and also what you're seeing on the screen. So if it's about Kim Jong-un in North Korea and they're showing him on the screen, you hear the word leader, for example, and the word leader, the word repeated five times during his picture, you kind of make the connection. The word leader must mean the person who, is the director, the president of North Korea. So that's a way to start. With music, it takes some time maybe before you find music that you like or singers or musicians that you like. But I would say at the beginning, just play the music, find what you like, figure out what the titles of the songs are, and look up the lyrics. Now, the difficulty here is if you're starting and learning a language, and the language is written in a script that you can't read very well. Like for example, that happens with me with Greek. It's kind of hard for me to learn to read Greek, so I sometimes look for transliterated lyrics. So the lyrics are written in Greek but with Latin letters, so it's much easier for me to read along. Now, sometimes the transliterations aren't that good. Sometimes certain language are hard to know in a different script. But that helps. And then I can read the lyrics in the transliterated Greek. I can go back to the original lyrics in the real Greek, and then I can read the translation in English. So that's a way to do it. Yeah.
So basically, it's to implement input as much as you can into your life, but you actually have to listen actively. Like you can't just let it run somewhere in the background and expect something to happen, but you listen, you try to understand, and you try to infer from what you're seeing or what you're hearing what it could mean. And by this method, by this way, you get better and better at it.
Yes. And there is obviously active listening is the main component, but there is a component where passive listening is important. And I noticed this in my own experience when I was learning Portuguese. I actually wasn't, it's kind of similar to where I am right now with Greek, but with Portuguese, I had a huge advantage because I already spoke several Romance languages. When I started to learn Portuguese, I was just listening to the Portuguese radio in the car when I was going to work and back. Because where I live, there's a community of immigrants from the Azores Islands in Portugal. And they have their own radio station. And I was listening to it just as like background entertainment while I was commuting. And then I was slowly sometimes reading my Brazilian Portuguese grammar book. And then I lived in Argentina. And then I traveled to Brazil. And so I did have exposure to the language and I had to use it when I was in Brazil. But then I went through long periods when I didn't speak a word in Portuguese. Maybe I only listened to music in Portuguese. But then about 10 years ago, when I was living in New York, I was forced to speak in Portuguese because my roommate was from Brazil and her friend came to visit from Brazil who didn't speak any English and I had to speak. And when I opened my mouth, what came out was a Portuguese accent. And I was saying words I didn't even know that I knew. And I remember the look on this Brazilian woman's face. She said, "I had no idea you could actually speak Portuguese." And I said, "No, neither did I," because this is just like it just had collected in my head. And it again, this is different because of the similarities between Spanish and Portuguese, and I already knew Italian and French, so that was a huge advantage. But the passive listening to the Portuguese radio station greatly impacted my accent, and to this day. when I speak in Portuguese, I still have a very strong Portuguese, continental Portuguese accent. Sometimes it's kind of mixed with the Brazilian that I've learned. But when I speak and when I go to Brazil, people always ask me, have you lived in Portugal? And some people can tell it's a mixed accent. Some people think it's more Portuguese. So the passive listening does impact your ability to speak and the pronunciation.
But I guess that only works in combination with the active listening.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, you can't just have it in the background.
Yeah. To come back to our example, why people around the world don't speak English very well, even though they grew up with English music and so on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. And so now let's go back to the topic of
Back to
accent. What do you think are some other possibilities to improve your accent with music? Like you said that singing along would be one possibility. What are other ways to improve your accent by this method?
Okay, so there was the recording of yourself and comparing yourself
That's
to
a
the
good
original.
one.
Also doing karaoke, like having like being out with friends and singing along and having fun. What also is helpful with music is to ask somebody, if you know a native speaker, to actually speak out the words that are being sung. So you can hear the words separate from the instrumental music. And I would also look at music, sorry, movies and television shows. And the reason that's important is because you can slow down the way, you can slow down a video. For example, on YouTube, you can go to the settings and you can slow down and you can make things faster. So if you want to really almost dissect the way the sound is and see the mouth movements, it's much easier to do that in a video than with music, or in a music video, because in a music video you're going to be, you have the sound of the instrumentals. So that's important, is to watch how people are speaking in television and music and movies.
Those are some great tips. That's a great method. Also, for the listeners, what I do, I go on YouTube and I find a good song and then I do the 50 plus mix, which gives me similar songs. It also works on Spotify and other musical platforms, and this way there's an endless stream of cool music.
That's good. That you're doing things around the house and you're hearing it, and it's just in your head.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you would like to add to this?
Another place to also find input that is of interest are podcasts. And one of the advantages of podcasts is that, you don't have to be listening at a certain time. Like when I was listening to Portuguese radio, so that radio station shared the radio station with a Chinese station. So if I was listening to it at like the wrong time, instead of listening to Portuguese, I got Chinese, and I wasn't learning Chinese, so I wasn't interested. So I actually kind of got bored of the Portuguese station. So I asked people I knew who were Brazilian or interested in Brazilian culture for podcast recommendations. And I just went to the National Radio of Brazil, CBN, or CBN, one of the national radios, and I just found podcasts that I was interested in. And then sometimes I was into grammar. I'd be so intrigued by the
You
topics.
just disappeared there for a second.
Oh, can you see me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm there?
The sound just disappeared. So can you repeat that?
What is important, what the good thing is about podcasts is that when I found podcasts in that I was interested in from Brazilian radio, that I was just compelled by the topic. I was just following the topic, and I wasn't paying attention to the vocabulary or the grammar. And it's a wonderful feeling when you get to the point when you can be listening, just like almost like a native speaker, and be absorbed by the topic and not paying attention to the language. And the same thing can happen, even when you're watching a movie or watching a television show. Well, it's even easier with movies and television shows because you have the visuals. But even when you're beginning, and learning a language, if you get absorbed into the media, you'll be surprised at how much you'll pick up in terms of the vocabulary and the grammar.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Where can people find out more about you and the methods or the method that you teach?
Sure. The website is languagesmusic.com, and the book is called Languages Music, and it's available in English, Russian, Spanish, and Portuguese. And also, you can look me up on YouTube. I have a fairly, well, a very rare surname and first name combination. So Susanna Zaraisky is very easy to find on YouTube. And I have videos in, I think, yeah, 7 languages about language learning. And I've also done videos or interviews with other polyglots, sometimes in different languages, so you can see those. I've also done, interviews on TV a lot on CNN in Spanish. And the main thing I think for the takeaway is not to think of language as just grammar books, and to find something in the culture that compels you and really absorb that, And if you don't have people who live near you who speak that language, then you find people on the internet, different groups. You can find a conversation partner and bring that culture to you in whatever way you can.
Yeah, and the internet makes that really easy.
It does. It does. Yes.
Well, Susanna, thank you so much. That was very interesting.
Interesting. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I hope it'll be of use to your audience.
I'm sure about that. All right. Bye bye.
Bye.